No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Ed and Dennis, rounding out the crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information here on Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Ed, good to see you.
Hey.
Did you enjoy your 2-week vacation, your hiatus from me?
It's been more than 2 weeks.
It actually has, hasn't it?
I've been avoiding you like the plague.
Well, you have. I mean, both you and
I saw you before Keith. You went down to MBA, because I was at least in the office training new instructors.
That's right. And that was enough of contact.
Greg sighting at the airport was just too much for me to handle.
That's true.
So I stayed away last week, too.
Ed's been in therapy because of this. You were working hard during that. Did you ever get over to the MBAA show at all?
I walked out on the static display for about 30 minutes on Thursday morning.
That was it, huh?
That was it. I did get to go sit in the Denali. I've got a customer I'm trying to focus on the Denali. And
yeah.
So I wanted to go get some first time with some of the Cessna people to learn a little bit more about the airplane so I can talk about it.
Right. I think of the GMC Denali.
No, that's exactly. I mean, yeah, exactly.
Right. So it's very plush. It's very like.
Exactly.
Hey, you're the man.
Yep.
And we're going to charge you.
It's like
you're the
big
man.
SUV. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How what's the price tag on that thing? Do you know?
It's right now just north of four
mil?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're probably going to. Well, I think they're north of 4.5. They hope to keep under 5 before introducing it.
Okay. Well, that's a bargain.
Which is very competitive with the Pilatus, which is already clearly over 5 million.
Yeah.
And it will meet it item by item and actually exceed it in some places.
Yeah. Well, we were
not
last
to mention
week.
It has the Garmin 3000 in it, which is awesome.
Oh, it does.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we were talking about one last week. What was it, Dennis? That Keith was saying that one was like 75 mil, and I was like, well, we're going to have to extend his.
Oh, that was
credit
the Cessna Latitude.
Yes. Latitude. Yes.
So that one's a step or two above.
Yes.
The Denali.
Yeah.
The Denali holds how many people about, figure, depending on the
configuration?
I think
they can put it in, let's see, the configuration was there. We had 4, 5, 6 in the back, 2 up front. But I think they can put more in it.
Yeah.
There was a big cargo area in the back and most importantly, a flushable potty.
Ooh, there you go.
This is one of my customers' main, or I should say his wife's main issues is they need a flushable potty.
Okay. And a lot of people are looking for that. They don't like to use those.
The kitty litter.
The Little Johns.
Yeah.
Well, the other corporate aircraft will have the kitty litter potty where it's, a seat, you lift it up and there's litter in there and you do.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a step above a satellite box that you'd find at AirVenture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I'm going to pay $4 mil, I don't want to poop in a kitty litter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I guess that's one of the benefits of having that kind of money laying around.
Yeah.
But, so it's a 6 to 8 passenger, airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's like 20, for a clown car kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Clowns.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, that's what I thought. So it's right in there with the Honda Jet, isn't it? And then would that be the same category, or is Honda Jet
Pilatus
a little smaller?
The
Pilatus, right.
Yeah, okay. It's a turboprop single. So it's competing directly against the Pilatus.
Yeah. And you like it better?
Well, oh, yeah.
Because, you're a Cessna guy for sure.
Well, no, I like it's a clean sheet design, and it's something that finally can compete with the Pilatus, because there's really nothing out there competing with the Pilatus.
Yeah.
And it is a little more plush inside than the Pilatus, because, mm-hmm. They're paying attention to the fit and finish. And it has the G3000 platform on it, which, that most of the other turboprop airplanes of that size, like the Pilatus, they're using more of the professional pilot type equipment, which is a little bit harder for the GA pilot to understand. Whereas the G3000 is just an extensive extension of, say, the G1000.
Right.
You know, so once you fly one Garmin piece of equipment, you can usually fly them all. They're similar software architecture, and so, you know, that's why I think is going to be really attractive to people that have learned in the G1000 to climb in that airplane and say, oh, yeah, I could fly this.
Mm-hmm. I understand
this. And that's what they do. They climb in this. They look at that panel. They look at the size of the airplane and say, yeah, this is bigger, but not that much bigger than what I'm flying. It's single engine, so I don't have to worry about two engines.
Right.
They have the reliability of the turboprop, and you know, it carries a load, and it'll do, I think it's got like a 1,500-mile range on it, so it will get a good long ways before I stop for gas.
Well, which explains why you need the restroom on board.
Exactly,
that's right. Now, what about the G3000? What's the big difference? We haven't really talked about that between that and the 1000.
The G3000 is a they had the 2000. They only put the 2000 in one airplane, the TTX, and it was basically the same as G1000, just without all the knobs and buttons, and they worked with a touchscreen ready pad.
Okay.
And basically, the 3000 is the same concept. It's a three-screen panel, PFD on either side, MFD in the middle, and then the ready pad is a touchscreen ready pad, and it has icons on it, and the icons are basically the exact same as the GTN 750. And so as far as functionality, somebody moving from a GTN 750 in dash unit into the G3000.
They'll get it.
Yeah, it's going to be very intuitive for them.
Yeah, but what is it? I mean, does it do more things? I would imagine as well, doesn't it?
Or not, as far
or is
as
it
the
just bigger, cooler screen.
Yeah, it's. I mean,
like
it's going to. It's going to. There's not much more it can do. It does have the new NXI software in it, so there are more functions in it. Than say the G1000s we're flying that are you know, 4, 5, 6 years old. It doesn't have. It does have more functionality. You can put a hold anywhere, any waypoint, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also true in the newer G1000s, the NXI. So,
Well, the G3000. Can you get that in anything else right now or no?
Well, it's in the Honda Jet. It's in. It's in the M2 from.
But it's all Jet stuff. It's not going to be coming down to.
No, it's not. It's also in the TBM 930. So it's in turboprops and jets.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Well, now we know because Keith was talking about that last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was like, I forgot to ask him that.
Yeah,
I was like, you know, the plane that we get. We were talking about the Kodiak.
Mm-hmm.
And does that one have the G3000 in it, maybe?
It's got the G1000.
1000, okay.
Yeah.
It is.
The Caravan and the Kodiak both have G1000.
Okay, because they're, okay, gotcha. Well, yeah, but maybe I got to wait for the 3000 to come out before I buy that. Is that what you're saying?
You could learn on the Kodiak and then work your way up.
Yes. We were talking about that, Ed. Can I do that, by the way? Can I just jump right into a Kodiak instead of work through the 172s or 182s and get my private pilot certificate?
Hey, they said I could. Greg, there is no financial reason why you can't.
Oh, the insurance company might have a reason.
Well, yeah, there's got to be somebody sitting next to him. But.
Well, Keith's credit card is all I need, I think, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but I did ask them. I said, look, do I have to learn on a smaller plane before I just, could I just jump into this? Because it just looks like a big 172.
It is.
Yeah, and they said, no, of course you can do that.
Yeah.
So.
And regulatory-wise, certification-wise, there's nothing wrong with it. I've known people to learn to fly in a King Air before.
Yeah.
From zero.
Wow.
Private pilot in a King Air.
Did it take them any longer to do it?
Yeah, it took them longer to do it.
Just because you got more machinery and you better not screw up because it's going to cost you even more if you miss something.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you're looking at me like, Greg, come up with a plan B. I know that face.
I'm just saying, what was this year's New Year's resolution?
To learn to fly.
And what month is this now?
It's this year still. Yeah,
we had 2 months, Greg, and we haven't had any progress. Do we need to get Harsh Harold
out? No, hold on. We made progress. We're on the heels of Halloween. I dressed up as a pilot. And I Ed came into the studio dressed. You didn't. You're wearing your costume from last week. That's nice of you. As a flight instructor.
Costume as a flight instructor. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm dressed today as a perpetual flight student in training.
I thought it was a bum that just came off the street.
Well, okay. It could go either way.
Potato.
Right. Right. All right. So I've had this a couple weeks. Actually, Ed brought this up to me, and I did talk to the folks at 4Flight about this. They were pretty excited about this informal survey that AOPA did about what's your favorite portable flight planning tool.
Mm-hmm.
And 4Flight like blew everybody out of the water, which you'd expect them to be high, but literally 60% of the market or the responders said, we use 4Flight for flight planning.
Woohoo!
Did you think that was...
Anecdotally, when I did all the different training for it, and I would go to a seminar, I'd say, how many people use a 4Flight? 80% of the room would
raise their hands. Well, they keep raising the bar, making it better and better, and we'll dive deeper in the stats here next on Just Plane Radio, because they might reveal some interesting information. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Need to replace that old Garmin? Need a new GPS for your plane? No matter what you fly, Avidyne has you covered. Since 1994, Avidyne's been a market leader in the design of intuitive displays in avionics. The mission has always been to use innovative technology to improve safety and increase aircraft utility. Go to Avidyne.com to find a dealer in the solution for you. That's Avidyne.com or call 1-800-AVIDYNE. Avidyne. For pilots that know the difference.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Hey, hold that door! Hold that door! What? Hold the door!
Oh, what? I'm so sorry.
My flight to Los Angeles.
I'm on that flight. You just missed it.
Look, I made the plane. I'm here.
You were so close, but unfortunately the door is locked and closed.
You're not letting me on the plane?
I know it's frustrating, but once the door closes, that's it. Federal regulations.
Please, let me in here. It's so ridiculous. There's the plane right there.
But really, it's as if the plane's not there.
What? Are you a magician?
No, but the door is locked.
I see the plane. If you're doing a trick. It's not a good trick.
It's such a shame.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Dennis rounding out the crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. All right, so we have this poll that AOPA did a couple weeks ago. They asked the question, what's your favorite portable flight planning tool? And as we said, 4Flight came out on top, as you would expect, but I mean dramatically.
Yeah, what's the number for the next level? Who's next?
Well, they got 4Flight at like 60% and everybody else at 11 or below.
Well, okay, so yeah, big gap.
Yeah, big gap. So they are far and away the leaders in flight planning And I will say this isn't like a scientific poll per se. They just threw it out to their members as they do periodically through some of their emails and things like that. But as you said, anecdotally, that's what you hear from everybody as well.
Yeah, when I'm talking to people at these seminars and ask how many people use it EFB, and then I'm like, how many how many people use 4Flight? Majority of the hands,
right?
I mean, significant majority of the hands.
They start doing the wave in the room, the whole thing. It's almost like a cult following these guys have gotten, and God bless them for it. I mean, I think it's well deserved.
Yeah,
wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They keep just improving it week in and week out. I mean, they got this new feature. What is the thing where it transcribes something, or
the pre-departure clearance?
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically you get an electronic departure clearance, which, okay, we're talking instrument flying here.
Yeah.
That's why you don't understand what we're talking about.
But. Well, I was thinking it would transcribe ATIS, but it won't do that? Or do they already do that?
Actually, do get your ATIS, but you have to get the instrument clearance as well.
Yeah.
Right, but I mean, couldn't I use that even if I was flying VFR and just use it to get, see?
Yeah.
There you go. I knew something. Yes! I'm making progress. Yay!
Should we give it to him?
No, because, he's not going to be leaving out of MCO anytime soon.
All right, moving on. Actually, I got a flight next week, so there. Suck it, losers.
You're in the back.
The other folks, the other flight planners, I mean, you got Fit Plan, FlyQ. Garmin Pilot. Well, which you were asking during the
The Garmin Pilot was on the bottom of the list, and it was actually less than other. So I just had to bring that out because I know Dennis had been a proponent of Garmin Pilot. That I don't think they're getting a tackle on ForeFlight like they'd want to.
Yeah.
And that would explain why they went out and bought flightplan.com.
Right. That could be changing.
Try to boost that market share and, try to maybe come up with some of the gaps that are missing. Because flightplan.com, is used by a lot of the corporate aviation folks.
Absolutely.
And couple that with the Garmin Pilot app. Now you're getting close to what 4Flight was able to do with the app and the 4Flight web, because a lot of people go to the 4Flight website and do their planning and then just push it down to their EFB.
Yeah.
Well, I think what we're going to have to do is just wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do with Garmin, you got this kind of like Apple environment, where they want to keep everything in-house.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a Garmin lover, if you have a G1000 or a 3000 or whatever.
And I was just talking in the previous segment about the G3000 with the ReadyPad on it, and it looks like the GTN 750 icons. Well, those same icons are what you see on the Garmin Pilot. So, I mean, mm-hmm. Garmin has a vision, clearly has a vision, that they're trying to, if you can use a portable Garmin, it's the same as using the in-panel Garmin, mm-hmm. is the same as using the iPad Garmin Pilot, and it pushes stuff up and pulls stuff down. And I have a customer.
On the other hand, you've got 4Flight out there that doesn't care what hardware you're using. So if you've got Avidyne in your panel, you can push a flight plan to it. If you've got Garmin in the panel, it just works. So, I like that appeal. I mean, I had to make a change when I put the Avidynes in. Mm-hmm. I was was definitely a Garmin Pilot user, but I had to switch to 4Flight, and it wasn't as painful as I expected it was going to be. In fact, I find a lot of things much more intuitive, and I definitely like the integration with the panel now.
Yes, he's a converter. Yeah. Well, but I think if you're used to a particular system, just like Apple. I mean, I'm a dedicated Apple guy. And I hate
1, 2, 3, 4. There are at least four.
Oh, there's more than that.
At least four that I can see here in the
studio. We got a lot of computers.
But if you were to tell Greg to go out and buy it, you can't have another iPhone. You have to go out and get an Android. That's going to take a lot for him to switch.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah.
And that's what Garmin would like to have, I'm sure.
It says a lot for 4Flight that you're able to switch.
That you can do that.
Yeah.
That's where I was going. 4Flight is easy. Anybody can pick it up and start using it immediately.
Right. Well, they do in the Cessna Pilot Center training kits, they do provide free Garmin Pilot apps, and a majority of the customers start with that, but then they see us using ForeFlight and see the difference, and they're like, how much is that?
Yeah, really.
You know,
yeah.
They see all the different things we can do. So we do convert a lot of people over.
Well, I think, you know, hats off to ForeFlight, because once again, they keep coming out with new features so quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, they're literally bringing new stuff to market like every month with a new release.
Yeah.
And so the other guys can't keep up with them from what I'm seeing.
Yeah, no, exactly. And there was a lot of work with Cessna a few years back with WingX Pro, which has virtually died off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, we have corporate version of ForeFlight, so I have all my instructors. We pay for their subscriptions, but it's also a document server. So all of our standard operating procedures, aircraft manuals, and so forth are on a Dropbox account that then is linked to our ForeFlight account and every one of my instructors. So all I got to do is change a document in one place, and it pushes it out to everybody in the company.
Right.
And, you know,
a little easier than the old days of going through the Jepson binders and having to update.
God, yes.
Yeah. Well, I told Angela a couple weeks ago when we talked to her about ForeFlight there at the MBAA show, mm-hmm. that how many updates do we got to go through before it just flies the plane for me and I don't even have to get my pilot certificate?
Well, you're getting close to that. You know, you've got some of these heads-up displays now that are actually interfacing directly to the synthetic vision output of ForeFlight. So,
yeah.
You know, we're not too far away.
Well, last week we were talking about wearing virtual reality goggles in the cockpit. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Which could be powered by ForeFlight.
Just hook that up to the autopilot, and I'll just sit back in the back, and I'll be fine.
Well, that's what you do now.
Yeah. How's that different than climbing an airplane now?
Well, it's not as fun. And I got to have the airplane, and there's a few other hurdles I got to jump over. But I'm going to do it. It's going to happen. All right, look, we got plenty more coming up here on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. Here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed and Dennis, rounding out the crew today. All right, so by the way, a little props out to Captain Dennis. We got a little thank you card from the Girls in Aviation folks from the board of directors, and they sent us an email or a card here at headquarters thanking us for participating, and that was Dennis. It wasn't me, Ed, or Keith.
Oh, no, we participated.
Well, we talked to them.
Well, no.
Why?
We always send Maggie to the local one, and she takes an airplane.
So, well, that counts.
Flight Training Professionals has participated.
Well, there you go. Okay. I was going to give Dennis
Just Plane
all the
Radio
credit.
Brought the Mooney into the local event here in Minneapolis. Yeah. So Abby and I actually had an exhibit on display there. So
cool. She
was doing the cockpit tours of the Mooney and inviting anybody and everybody up in there. So
well, that was very nice. They sent us a nice little thank you card.
Yep.
And they're old school. You got to appreciate that for sure. All right. So there's some drone news we're going to get into in just a bit. But during the commercial break, you know, what happens here is the crew starts talking amongst themselves. And you guys started sharing the story about a buddy who did what?
Well, somehow, Dennis was talking about Palwaukee, which is in Chicago. It's an airport, I think it's just north of O'Hare.
And that's kind of where you were for the harvest, right?
I'm from Illinois. It's a small place outside of Chicago.
Oh, okay. Illinois, Chicago, same thing to me. I don't care.
There's Illinois, and then there's Chicago.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right, gotcha.
But at the time, I was living in Champaign and working in flight school there, and a friend of mine was flying to Palwaukee at night, And he was relating this story to me when he got back, because Dennis was saying how taking off one runway, you got to immediately turn, or you're going to hit the surface Bravo airspace for Powaki, and kind of how four flight helps with stuff like that.
Right.
And so I'm like, oh, well, I had a friend that went up to Powaki one night, and he was coming in for landing, and it was in the flare, and he looked over to his right and said, when did United move maintenance hangars to Powaki?
Go!
He was landing at O'Hare and had no permission.
Uh-oh. And we'll tell you what he did next. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Increase altitude. Stall.
You can always go around. If it don't look right coming down, don't wait until your side will be sliding on the ground. You can always.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, Captain Ed, and Dennis. And if you're landing in
O'Hare.
Yeah, O'Hare by accident. You think it's Powaki?
Powaki was where he was going.
Right. And you got the wrong one, then you know that is not what you want to be doing. But remember, you can always go around. Just start singing
and
the song.
That's exactly what he did. And to my knowledge, he never got caught. But this was 30-plus years ago. It was the late 80s.
Yeah, I don't think that would go over well. I think they would know you.
I think today it would be a different story.
Yes, they're going to know.
There would be some phone calls made, some certificates in danger, et cetera. So, yeah.
Well, even back then, you'd have to call in to get clearance for something like that. Wouldn't they know? Or he thought he was talking to Powaki or Waki.
He was talking to Powaki. Powaki cleared him to land. It was the same runway number. He came in. He was in the flare, so he hadn't touched down yet. He looked over and realized where he was and went around.
Then snuck over
to Powaki and made the landing because he was already cleared to land.
Nice.
And it was only, what, 4 more miles?
Exactly.
If you don't touch, it doesn't count, I think. Isn't that how it works?
I don't know about that, Greg.
No? Okay. Well, you're the
but like I say, back then it was a TCA, not a Class Bravo, and yeah. So I mean, we're talking many years ago.
Mm. But yeah, if you're ever unsure, just start singing the song.
That's right,
and do it
after you go around.
Well, you can do it at the same time. Okay, kind of take the nerves.
Okay,
it may help you control them a bit if you start singing that goofy song, because God knows that's better than having to mess your pants, which you're probably. You're just seconds away from that happening, too.
Yeah.
If you find yourself in that scenario. All right. Let's talk about some other stuff. Drones. One of my favorite subjects. We got to get some drone news in. And, last week we were talking about how they're going to start delivering hamburgers and fast food and all that stuff in the drones by 2021. Did you hear that, Ed, last week? I know you don't listen.
Yeah, I'm not. I was kind of hoping that you hadn't talked about drones in weeks, and we just happened to talk about one since I'm here, but it sounds like this is still
Uber
just,
Eats.
So Uber Eats, which I love.
you use that.
I use that.
Okay. Well, they're going to start delivering it with the drones. That's what their goal is by 2021.
Well, they're going to run into some issues with that.
Or they're going to run into some things.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Not so much issues as much as structures and potentially other flying vehicles, but they're on an aggressive timeline to make this happen. They actually, Uber expects to bring it faster to market than Amazon.
Well,
that's what they're claiming.
So what makes sense about that is the weight of the package coming. You know, what you're getting to eat is going to be weighing a whole lot less than something.
A quarter pounder or less in 30 minutes or less, 30 seconds or less. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, it looks like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But there is some other drone-related stuff. Dennis, what's the latest thing you saw there that was kind of intriguing to see?
Well, I just saw an article that DJI, you know, the manufacturer of drones, they have some software that enforces something called a geofence. Basically, it's a defined, you know, like restrictions around major airports and things like that, and around temporary flight restrictions. They've updated their software, making it a lot more intelligent now. Before, it used to be like a 4-mile circle around an airport and you couldn't fly. Now it's actually taking into account where the runway layouts are so that you can fly parallel to the runways, but not directly under the approach or departure ends, making it more useful for the pilots. And hopefully, you know, maybe the next step to this is to make it mandatory that before you fly, that you have to run an app that would update the you know, the no-fly areas or something like that, so you can prevent some of these incursions. There was an article a couple weeks ago about the Albuquerque Balloon Festival where they were tracking the number of drones flying around trying to get pictures of these balloons. And they had over 470 unauthorized drones within that flight restriction.
That is insane. That is an
accident. And all of these are flying next to, you know, hot air balloons that are fabric with spinning propellers. And we all know what spinning propellers can do to things like hornet's nests. So imagine what they could do to a balloon envelope.
So true. Yeah.
Well, did I send you the video that I came across on a drone into a Mooney's wing?
Yes. Yeah, we talked about that.
Okay, good. Yeah. Because, I mean, that was very startling to me that
it could do that much damage.
It could do that much damage and compared to the damage a bird would do.
Right. When I saw that video.
A Mooney's a wet wing. Mm-hmm. Your gas tank's right there with nothing in between it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the first things I did. I picked up the phone and I called Dennis. Was that your plane? You have one of those Moonies.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. I will say the manufacturers are taking this stuff into account. I mean, when we were talking to Kodiak folks there at MBAA, they actually have moved the gas reservoir there in the wings back. Mm-hmm. With the idea, the guy told me, he says, well, we moved them back to the back, towards the back of the wing, in case the wing hits anything, it won't cause, you know, a potential, have you ever heard of that, explosion kind of thing?
No, I haven't, but that makes sense.
Yeah, so, I mean, it did to me, too. I was like, wow, they're thinking bird strikes, too, but they're obviously thinking the drone stuff as well. So, the manufacturers are starting to put in extra safety precautions with that in mind, but it is a little scary. To think that, you know, when you said this will be good for the pilots, you mean the pilots of the drones. Is that what you were saying, Dennis? It's not necessarily great for regular pilots that are at the airport.
It could be, because right now there's nothing to stop somebody from, you know, flying their airplane, you know, 20 feet off the end of the runway over by the fence to get a picture of somebody, you know.
Hold on. Well, that's not true. I thought you said we have a 4-mile geofence now. And this new software will allow them to get parallel with a runway all the way up to the airport, correct?
Right.
But that's assuming they're abiding by the 4-mile rule.
There we go.
Exactly.
So,
right.
You know, if now they're no longer restricted to be able to fly, you know, have to be more than 4 miles away, but this is going to keep them off of the airport environment itself. Now you're probably going to have more likely to get these people to update it and put that software in place and start using the fence.
Yeah. How did they negotiate that deal, though? I mean, wouldn't the software automatically kick in? Like, hey, you're within 4 miles of a airport, ain't going to work. I mean, the geofence.
When did you last update the software on your computer?
Well, true. But I mean, but if they had it up to that, I mean, they got it pushed all the way up next to the airport. It just kind of, to me, is like, oh boy, that was a real, like, okay, we can do this for you, but you're gonna have to let us way closer to the airport to fly the drones. I mean, I think DJI won out on that negotiation. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think that there's overrides in the software too, because you can get you know, authorization to fly closer than 4 miles, so there has to be some sort of an exception. So this is just going to make it easier and more acceptable to the drone pilots, so that they're more likely to use it and abide by those restrictions.
Right.
So just
but
being,
what,
you know, cowboys.
What happened with those 400 folks that were flying around the balloon fest thing?
Nothing, I mean, yet, but the interesting thing is the software that they used to scan for those was actually a product from DJI that actually listens for the control signals from all of them. So they have the serial numbers of the drones that were flying. So if the FAA wanted to pursue it, they could actually go after those pilots for violating the TFR.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Which would, what would the penalty of something like that be? Do we even know?
Well, I mean, there's going to be certificate removal, and then there's going to be a fine.
Yeah. Even if it's like 7-year-old Johnny who got this for his birthday?
Well, I don't know. Like I say, the FAA is still playing catch-up with the drone industry.
Right.
And they don't have the manpower, and they're putting a lot of manpower towards this when they don't have a lot of manpower, and it's leaving other things off the table.
Exposed, right.
You know, and I've talked to a few people within the FAA. They're like, yeah, this is just crazy. We have a couple people that kind of know what's going on, and you know, they're seriously worried about this ending up in fatalities.
Well, of course. I mean, especially after that video.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the first time I think the world saw what a drone could really do. As a matter of fact, when we talked about it on the air, I was like, you know, I remember bringing this up a few years ago with Ed, and he was like, oh, don't worry about that. These things, they're going to disintegrate when they hit an airplane.
Yeah.
So that was a real eye-opener for you, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, and then when they shot the bird-like substance at it,
yes,
and how the damage was, and it was different, mm-hmm, you know, and it crushed the leading edge of the wing, but didn't hurt the spar.
Right.
You know, so.
But the mess, oh my gosh, way worse of a gooey mess.
Not really, and we can talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You gonna ride shotgun with me, help me fly?
That's the plan. Spread your wings and fly.
This is Just Plain Radio. That is Queen and the big Bohemian Rhapsody movie coming out here.
Aren't we supposed to go
see that?
I think
it comes out this week.
Yeah.
I think our wives were talking about that, and I'm like, yeah, we want to go see that.
I'm going. I already got my tickets.
The sound system on the theater would be so awesome with
that. Oh, hell yeah. I'm seeing it in IMAX. I got my tickets. Actually, I guess we're going tonight. Yeah.
Well, I guess that means we're not going because my wife's working tonight.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Well,
but I know they were talking about it.
Yes. good stuff, yeah. For sure. I have no doubt that'll be a good one.
Yeah.
To see. I'm a big Queen fan. If you can see from the Just Plain Radio
clock.
Yeah. Here. Yeah,
I could have gone so far with that, Dennis, and I showed lots of restraint. Lots of restraint.
First time ever. Okay, so, you were saying the bird simulator crash on that video. They took like a big bag of Play-Doh to simulate what a bird would do to a wing of an aircraft.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. And it's a bird-like substance, basically mm-hmm. the same weight, consistency, et cetera.
Right.
And you saw what it did to the leading edge of the
Splat.
Wing. Splat! Yeah. And so you said that, you know, hey, it doesn't,
leaves a gooey mess all over the airplane.
But actually, it doesn't.
Just splattered all over.
We have just experienced one of those, and there was a little bit of feather residue and a little bit of blood residue that I do think the airplane won.
Well,
well, this is a turkey buzzard, so it's a big bird.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, so the airplane didn't come out unscathed, but yeah. I think it will live to fly another day. But I don't think the turkey buzzard will.
Yeah, well, but you didn't see any remnants of that, did you? You just saw the splatter.
Yeah, there wasn't really even a splatter.
It was just a. What was left?
Smudge of blood, some feathers.
Okay, but there wasn't like a beak sticking in the window or nothing.
No, but there
like
was
that.
Big old scratch on the prop. So,
wow.
Unfortunately, this is one of our brand new airplanes.
Ugh.
And it has 35 hours on it, and now it's got to have basically the it took out the lower cowling. It hit the prop, so by AD, the prop, the engine has to be torn apart and x-rayed and put back together again.
Mm.
Prop has to be the same thing to the prop. So, and I thought Keith might have talked about this on the show the last couple of weeks.
No, he didn't.
But, the airplanes we just got a month ago, we've been working this deal for a while. We picked up three 2014 Cessna 172S models when we picked them up from in Tulsa. Two of them had 4 hours on them. The other one had 7.
Wow. Yeah. So these are brand spanking new airplanes.
No, they're used.
They're used?
They're 2014s. And what year is
it now?
How did
that happen?
Well,
Greg used them?
Yeah, exactly. They've been sitting there waiting for him to fly.
Well, now I have a reason.
So they were a batch of 18 were sold to a company in Malaysia.
Yeah,
and they were shipped over to Malaysia. You know, crated up in Independence, Kansas, shipped over to Malaysia. Never pulled out of the crate because that was about the time that the Malaysian airline accident occurred. The airplane went missing.
Ah, okay.
And so the group starting the flight school decided it wasn't the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And so just here recently, somebody here in the States. Negotiated a deal to pick up all 18. He went over and inspected them. It's somebody that we knew through connections. We've actually sold airplanes to him before and bought airplanes off him before. And so we got 3 of the 18. And
sweet.
Yeah.
Well,
sweet on the fact that one of them is going to be out of commission while it goes through all these.
Who was flying? Wasn't you or Ed that were flying?
No. It was one of our instructors. Yeah,
yeah.
So, but it crushed the exhaust tube on the because it came in the lower cowling, went through the prop, smashed the cowling, crushed the exhaust tube for the engine exhaust.
Yeah.
And so you could see just a smudge of blood.
Hmm.
But like I say, I do believe that the airplane won and that it will fly again. And I'm pretty sure that turkey buzzard ain't going to fly again.
Well, can you tell us about the incident itself, or would you rather not?
No, I mean, they were just literally flying out to the practice area.
Yeah.
They're
3,000 feet thereabouts?
No, about they were down just east of the airport about 5 miles, so they're still down about 1,100 feet.
Mm.
You know, and so the instructor saw the bird. And started getting bigger and bigger, so he took the controls and tried to avoid it.
Yeah.
And good that he did, because by pulling up and away, it hit the bottom part of the cowling and deflected down versus hitting the windshield and coming through the windshield. And
yeah, that would have
the
been
outcome
worse.
Would have been much worse.
So obviously he knew what it was.
Yeah.
And then once it happened, how'd they handle it?
Just cool and calm, just...
Yeah, well, okay, so, yeah, we're going to land.
Basically, flew it for about 30 seconds, realized, okay, it's still responding fine, turned around, brought it back to the airport, landed without incident.
Yeah, do you call a emergency landing at that point or no?
No,
didn't need to.
Didn't need
just
to.
Knew it was flying okay.
Yeah.
Just said, hey, I got to come back.
Yeah. Then, of course, there's a wildlife strike report and stuff that you have to do, and then the insurance reports and
right
all that stuff. And
planes covered, I assume?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, it's just, you know, now it has damage history, and, you know, it'll be repaired fine. It'll be flying fine. You know, it's just... You know, okay, it's going to be, you know, probably 6+ weeks of no revenue on the airplane.
Mm.
You know, and
which isn't good for business.
Yeah, well, and we really need the airplanes because
yeah.
you know, you've heard
you
us.
Guys been cranking.
They don't
have time to be on the show. They're
you've
teaching
heard,
too
you've
many
heard
pilots.
How much we've been crying about not having enough airplanes, not having enough instructors. Well, I got new instructors. I've just got done training them. I was going to have multiple new airplanes. Now I only got a couple.
but you
it's
got
so
two.
Good.
Yeah.
It's good.
All right. We'll look at the bright side for now.
Yeah.
And on that note, we'll end it till next time. Remember, there is no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.